The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show. I'm here with Brian Rich. Well, Brian, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Brian, we are going to take on a great topic today that you and I have mulled on a little bit and you particularly have put some thought into. As we approach the new year, we're going to try to take on a topic related to really aligning your organization's goals with your personal goals to really make the world a better place. And that is a fascinating discussion. Can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to start thinking about, the realignment of an organization as part of a New Year's resolution, which is a fascinating subject?
Sure. Well, I think we all at this time of year start to think about the New Year renewal resolutions. And more, I think we are recognizing or certainly should be recognizing the role that we play as individuals in different communities, in different organizations, in the work to address serious issues and causes that are related to how our society functions. And, we've talked before, but I wrote a book called Shift and Reset about how, we need to rethink the way we address serious issues. And a big part of that is looking at the individual responsibility and the collective opportunity that we have in today's fast-moving, digitally-enabled, connected society to really make an impact. So as I start to think about my New Year's resolutions, as I know, others start to wrap up the year and kind of get ready to kickstart 2012, it just seemed absolutely natural to me that we should be looking at the individual roles we play and, the opportunity that we have as a part of an organization, whether that's a nonprofit or a company or a neighborhood, a community, to do things differently and finally get some real progress accomplished on some of this important stuff.
And the concept is really interesting alone to imagine that a company is a living organization and that it has moving parts and has things that it has to do and things it has to partner with to get better. That alone is an interesting notion. And can you talk about that a little bit and how, does a company actually have a lifeline to it, a nerve center? And what is it? Is it the people or is it the connecting points of other companies that make it tick, that make it run?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it's actually both. Companies and organizations are made up of individuals, and the personality and the effort that we all put in and the energy and the experience that we bring from the rest of our lives to the office every day or to our work helps to shape how, that organization runs and how it thinks and what it's able to accomplish. But at the same time, each organization is part of this larger ecosystem, part of this society, and they all play a role. And, there are a lot of things that organizations have control over, and there are other things that, they have influence over if they don't have control of how things operate. So these are living, breathing organisms. And so not only do we have to think about our individual actions as humans and what it is we want to change or improve about our lives, we have to think about the roles and the actions that these companies, these organizations play in that larger ecosystem, in that larger community in which they are a part, and of course how those two relate, because there are some complex problems out there that need to be solved. There are some big opportunities to be realized, and no one organization or no one individual is necessarily going to be able to do all of that on their own. So, let's start to look at how to put the pieces together. Let's start to look at, how to start ticking things off the list in a way that we know we can sustain and that we know we can drive the kind of impact we want. That should be our mentality going forward.
So is it the case that we need to first sort of diagnose who we are as an organization and then decide we want to make some changes? And I want to give some examples of that so you can expand upon it. So do we want to diagnose, you know, how we treat each other, you know, whether we train and develop our employees, whether we're involved in a nonprofit, you know, organization as a company and make some donations or of time or things, you know, who we partner with, who our customers are now today, what our participation is in the ecosystem, or, you know, are we a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond, you know, and do we say, okay, here's who we are, and then here's who we want to be next year? Is that the right attitude to do all of this before we dive into some of your steps?
Well, yeah, you know, I think my suggestion would be that we need to focus on finding solutions. There are absolutely problems and challenges out there that that all of these organizations are committed to solving. In some cases, it's what they're in business to do. In some cases, it's what they care about. But, you know, we have to be very careful not to get mired in just the details, just the operational approach to different things. We need to set some big goals. We need to, you know, be ambitious, and we need to say, look, in 2012, I want to accomplish X, and the mechanism for getting there is going to be all those things you mentioned, right? We do need to rethink how we, you know, treat employees. We do need to think how we communicate out to the world what we do and what we get back from our customer base or our community. We do need to think about, you know, the contributions that we make to charities and, you know, and causes. But we have to really have a very clear benchmark, a very clear goal that needs to be accomplished. And I think, you know, more and more, particularly with the complexity in the world and the challenges that exist, we need that goal to be big and ambitious, because if we're not trying to solve a problem or really change something, then, you know, it's going to be very tough to keep focus and sustain the energy that it's going to take to make those changes. So, you know, I think we got to make sure we see the forest, you know, as well as the trees, if you will. But more importantly, we really need to, you know, we really need to say there's got to be something big we have to solve or something big that we have to accomplish so that everything can be measured against that.
Do you have any data on how finding a cause or a particular commitment that an entire organization shares together can influence their attitude about themselves, about the company, about lives? Do you have any data on that?
Yeah, well, there are a number of stories and data point studies and whatnot out there over the past few years that talks about, as an organization, how important it is for your employees to not only understand but really believe in the mission of your work, that employees who work for an organization that is committed to addressing a cause that they believe is important or that they believe is relevant to the work that they do are going to be happier and more productive, stay longer, you know, and certainly help that organization ultimately to be successful. So, you know, Cone, where I used to work, had some research on that. Number of the agencies, you know, that do work in cause marketing and corporate social responsibility have good data on that stuff. The other thing we know is, you know, there's plenty of data and other evidence that that talks about how important it is for individuals to believe and commit to something bigger than themselves, a social cause in most cases. We talk a lot of the time about this in the context of millennials. And sort of, you know, the emerging workforce, and how they don't just want to have a job. They want to have a job that gives something back to society. They want to have, you know, a focus to whatever they do, whatever they spend their time on, that is more than just about earning money or gaining status, that they want to be a part of something bigger. And, you know, the real question now, I don't think there's any disputing that people understand that and believe that. The real question is, how do you actually make that work? Because it's easy to say we believe in a cause, but it's much harder to, you know, to demonstrate that and to do so in a consistent and sustainable way when you have, you know, a very diverse population working with you and working for you.
Mm-hmm. Great answers. Let's take a quick break and back everyone with seven or eight really key points to starting the new year and stopping the madness and some big ideas to help you address some of the serious issues coming up in the new year. Back in just a minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
MySEOTool.com is your all-in-one SEO management resource. MySEOTool.com makes it easy to optimize and oversee all of your SEO efforts. Line-by-line detailed reports help you identify any problems and show you how to fix them. MySEOTool.com is completely automated. Once you use it, you will see a rise in your search rankings and traffic. Try My SEO Tool risk-free today. Go to MySEOTool.com. MySEOTool.com.
In 500 yards, CPA Way will be on your right. You have reached your destination.
On the interstate of internet marketing, CPA Way helps you monetize the way. No matter which direction you're heading, CPA Way is your route to low-risk revenue.
Advertisers,
we have paved the way to delivering revenue channels that will meet and exceed your expectations.
Publishers,
we monitor and manage your campaigns to bring you the most revenue possible.
Publishers can feel secure to leverage direct offers, while advertisers can find safety offering their most valued campaigns.
The road to trust, respect, integrity, and honor is just ahead at CPAway.com.
Podcasting at the speed of sound.
WebmasterRadio.fm, the flamethrower.
WebmasterRadio.fm, we're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, Brian. Thanks again for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Right on. So step us through some of the logic here that you've developed as a follow-up to our previous show. Step one you're suggesting is maybe make a choice. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, you know, look, there are so many options out there. There is, so many different challenges that exist. But we have limited bandwidth. We have limited patience. We have limited attention. So for us to accomplish anything, to find a solution to a problem in society, to make even an individual change in behavior so that we're happier or healthier or, you know, more committed, we have to choose. We have to prioritize. And more important than just making a choice is we really have to commit. So, you know, I think the first thing that we really have to focus on is, you know, what is it that we want to do? What do we want to take on? What is that big challenge? What is that big goal? And we need to choose that over something else because we can't do it all. And if we try to do it all, we're not going to accomplish any of those things. So first and foremost, make a choice, make a commitment, and make sure that all of your decisions about whatever your strategy for approaching that or, you know, the tactics or investment that you need to make in order to change and see some impact in the world, that everything is focused on fulfilling that decision, that choice, and maintaining, or I should say, living up to that commitment.
With regards to the organization, you know, do you take a poll and a consensus to get employees to buy into this? Because the critical element here is getting more than yourself to buy into this concept, right, within a company, right?
So, yeah, I mean, look, I think this is the challenge of leadership right here. Yes, you could absolutely take a poll and see what your employees are going to be interested in. But, you know, in all likelihood, if you ask 10 different people what they think the organization should commit to addressing, you're going to get, potentially 10 different answers. Mm-hmm. So I think what you have to look at is, what is it that you as a company or an organization, and what is it that you as a base of employees, a community, really accomplished to or capable of solving? And you should pick whatever your challenge is, whatever solution you want to find, so that it directly relates. I think you see a lot of times where companies, you know, genuinely want to do good in the world. They want to help to address a serious issue, but they look for what might be popular, or they look for what might be meaningful. And it doesn't necessarily map against what skills or experiences people have, what they're going to find, you know, motivating to participate in. So you got to lead. You got to go out on a limb, and you got to say, look, this is important for the world. This is something that we can actually solve. This is how I think we're going to get it. And I think if you, you know, communicate that well, and you lead your troops appropriately, you know, they'll get in line. That's leadership. That's what it takes.
The sum being greater than the individual parts. What about the second one here, the big cleanse? Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, along this lines of, we have limited bandwidth, we have limited attention, you know, we're not going to be able to take on the new challenges. We're not going to be able to accomplish these big things if we don't get rid of some of the things that don't work. And it's, you know, it's very difficult day in, day out to figure out what works and doesn't work. So, you know, kind of lending, you know, taking a page from the diet gurus, if you will, you just got to go on a cleanse. You got to cut out some aspect of how you are spending your time, and, you know, and see if you feel better by not having to spend your time on that. So that might be, you know, if you read a lot of online newsletters, for example, and it takes up time during your day, and, you know, sure, you find it interesting, but you're not sure how it's going to, you know, feed into whatever else you're doing, unsubscribe, right? If you were, you know, going and participating in a meeting or a group, you know, every week because that's what you think you're supposed to do, you know, don't go to that meeting. Buy back that time. So it's sort of like giving up carbs or giving up meat for a month. You know, if at the end of the month you're still missing it, you can always put it back in. But what I think will happen, and in my experience, what happens is you go on the cleanse, you start to feel better, you start to see things very differently, you know, and it opens up a whole set of possibilities that weren't available to you before. And that's when you can really start to, you know, to look at that commitment that you've made, that choice that you've made, and see a path towards, you know, towards realizing it.
Think big, talk small.
Yeah. You know, big ideas are great, but they are difficult for people to wrap their heads around. And, you know, particularly when you're talking about solving a complex problem, you know, it might be ending hunger or, you know, curing AIDS, whatever it is. You know, there's a lot of contribution that an organization can make, but they're not necessarily going to be able to do it all on their own or in any kind of efficient, you know, sort of quick win sort of way. So you got to break these complex problems into very small pieces, and you got to communicate them in ways that people can not just sort of understand and kind of connect to emotionally, but really kind of intellectually absorb and then start to do themselves. So my silly little example is, you know, I do a lot of knowledge sharing work internally at organizations, how to make people smarter. And one of the big things in making people smarter is just making sure that you're capturing and sharing information. Most people keep it siloed. You got to get it out there so that others can experience it. Well, if you break that down into really small, specific pieces, it's just about the capture. So when I go to a meeting, I bring note cards, and I write down the ideas that I hear with little notes on them explaining those ideas on a 3x5 index card. So talking small is about going all the way down to that level and showing people and teaching people, this is how I'm using note cards to capture ideas. You know, you might execute it a little bit differently, but now you understand how this little part contributes to something that's bigger, and that contributes to something bigger. So absolutely, think big, think knowledge sharing. I want everyone to be smarter. But talk small and talk about something as granular as, how do you write down the notes and capture what someone comes up with in a meeting on a note card? Because as more and more people start to do those little things, we're going to see the collective power of addressing those larger problems, you know, become much more influential, much more realistic.
Mm. That note card idea, how long have you been doing that? And how do you use those cards? I want to follow up on that, because I just love the concept of I mean, naturally, our parent company is idealaunch.com, and I think about ideas all day, every day, and think of how they influence and can impact either our customers or our own business. How are you using the index cards, you know, as you're working with your customers?
Yeah, you know, I got the idea from Bill Clinton way back in the day. I had the privilege of working in the White House for President Clinton and Vice President Gore, and you know, you heard these stories about how incredibly brilliant Bill Clinton was, and they're all true. He has magical powers, but you know, way back when he started his political career, he used to carry note cards around with him wherever he went, and every time he met someone at an event, at a meeting, whatever, he wrote down their name and, you know, maybe their contact information, but a couple notes about where he met them and what conversation they had and what he or she might be interested in. And he kept those in, you know, an old school Rolodex, a sort of file folder, you know, forever. And, you know, what happened was not only did he have this incredible record of these things, but he was able to make these connections and associations with people on levels that, you know, most people never did. So I sort of took the cue from that. And, you know, so what I write down on the cards when I go to these meetings is, you know, not just the title of the idea or who they said it, but what connections it makes in my brain. So someone comes in with an idea and I think of an article I read in Fast Company, I write down that article. And I go and I bring it back and I put it in a pile on my desk. And, you know, whenever I'm looking for looking through things, I go to that pile and I put them up on the wall. I put them up on the bulletin board and, you know, I make those connections again and I make those connections for me and I make them for other people. So I send that article out to a few people who I think would be interested or who mentioned it in the meeting. And it just continues to keep the flow going. In reality, a lot of those cards stay in the pile, right? There isn't enough time to get through all the ideas. But I know that my brain is making the associations that it wouldn't otherwise get a chance to make because I have meetings back to back all day and, you know, you don't get to process it. By writing it down on the cards, it unlocks and makes the idea connections for me that then I can use to maintain conversations with people.
Well, the challenge is surfacing the great ideas that can have impact and change, and rather than just scattering them all over so they're all really brilliant stuff there. Let's go to the next. Be a Franken-org. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I think really successful organizations, even the best and the brightest, are still only good at some things and not so good at others. And for us to tackle these complex problems, the best and brightest organizations of the future are going to be the ones that take what they know and truly collaborate and coordinate with other organizations that are doing something well. So nobody takes on the challenge of doing something that they're just not good at when there's someone else who can do it better than them. So, you know, we as individuals and organizations need to really recognize and embrace and own up to the fact that we're excellent at this and we're not so good at that. And we need to seek out and really find good collaboration, good working partnerships, whatever you want to call it, with others who do something well that's not the same thing. And so the Franken-org is, you know, this super org, this super friends, this monster that you can put all the best parts of organizations, different organizations together, all focused on accomplishing that shared set of goals, all trying to do something that none of them could do without the help of the others. It's not the way we normally think. We all try to be everything, and we end up failing at a lot. If we really do what we do well and we're really open to working with others, you know, we're so much stronger together than we are apart.
Is it even possible and fair to ask employees, hey, what are you freakishly good at, you know, and then assessing the value of that freakish characteristic and seeing if it fits with having them do more of that and less of things that they're not good at? Could you imagine? I'm thinking index cards here.
Yeah, no, I don't think employees, you know, ever get asked. I think most of the time you walk into a job and you have a job description and there are already a pile of expectations on what it is you're going to do and how you're going to work. And, you know, the message is sent very clearly. If you want to be successful, if you want to keep your job, you need to live up these expectations that somebody else has set. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's obviously necessary for the organization to function. You were hired to, you know, fulfill a certain set of responsibilities. But, you know, the best organizations are going to be the ones that really identify what you know, their people are freakishly good at, and organizing as best as possible, right, around those capabilities, around how to activate those abilities. And look, I don't think we're the only organization that does it, but I work, you know, for Edelman, the world's largest independent PR firm. And, you know, one of the things that Richard Edelman has always said, you know, and I think part of the reason I'm here, or I hope one of the reasons I'm here, is because, you know, we hire for talent and then we figure out how to make money on that. So we have here at Edelman, out of the almost 5,000 people globally, we have about 350 former working journalists, former reporters, right, who have incredible talent, whether it's writing or interviewing or whatever. That is not normally the, you know, type of skill set that you would imagine doing corporate reputation strategy or PR, right? So, but we hire these smart people with these incredible experiences and these unique capabilities, and then we put them on teams and we have them working with other people who can service clients and serve the company well. So we hire for talent and we figure out what to do with them later. I don't think there's enough of that, and I think in order to really, you know, make an organization sort of a Frankenorg within and make, you know, super organizations that are collectives of the best and brightest organizational, you know, capabilities focused on solving some larger problem, you're going to have to look for that freakish talent. You're going to have to ask for that much more than we do today.
So as a business owner, I'm thinking that the logistic step here is sort of, you know, identify your freakishly, you know, amazing talent. Tell us what it is. Let us figure out how we can put it to work best for our company to grow the business and to expand. I mean, it's amazing, but it is simple. I've never thought of that, but it's incredible. Would you agree with that logistics step, you know, that I pigeoned together there?
Yeah, well, you look, and, you know, one of the things that's very important is we now know that that employees are much more engaged on social media. We know that particularly as the workforce becomes younger and we get into that millennial audience and some of these others, that the expectations that, you know, these more junior employees are going to have a greater say in how a company operates and what it commits to and what it believes and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, not only is the step of actually asking critical, but there's a ton of information out there. There's a ton of you know, expression just being put out there of what your employees want and you know, what role they think they can play and what they think they're good at. They're blogging, they're putting up on Twitter and Facebook, you know, their personal experiences as a photographer, whatever. Companies have to do a better job really truly listening and hearing what it is that their employees are saying, not just when asked, but generally, because we have so much of that personal expression going on just naturally. And so there's one exercise that I think your, you know, tactical step gets to, which is, you know, asking and listening and you know, making sense of that. But there's also the hearing, the really understanding what people are saying and not just taking their responses on face, because, you know, you're not necessarily in a work context going to tell your boss what it is you think you're freakishly good at because you're not sure what is going to be done with that. But you're sharing it with the rest of the world, and you're, you know, the office should absolutely be you know, paying attention to that stuff as well.
I'm going to modify my last step, and then we'll move on. But it's something like, you know, identify the freakishly amazing talent, you know, find the right fit in the organization for that talent, and do it more, right?
Yep.
Do it
more.
Yeah,
no, you got to exploit what you got, right?
Exactly.
You know, if you have someone who's unbelievably talented, go for it.
Exactly.
Double down on it.
Exactly. Double down. Perfect. Next, take on the hard stuff.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I think it is so easy to get trapped in, you know, what seems important but really isn't going to have that larger contribution that you want. So it seems like improving your relationship with your employees or partnering with more organizations or communicating more effectively about your commitment to a certain cause. You know, that seems like it's going to be a big step, that it's going to be really important. But as hard as that is in terms of changing your behavior as an organization or as an individual, as challenging as it will be to do something different than you've always done, that's not the hard stuff, right? Running an event or running a campaign to raise awareness about, you know, the plight of hunger in the United States, that's not going to solve hunger. It's not going to move the needle at all. So you have to commit to the big stuff, the really hard stuff. You have to say, we're going to find, you know, the solution to this problem. We are going to change the trajectory of this issue, not just serve the cause, but really solve the cause. So when I say take on the hard stuff, you know, you really have to swallow hard. You have to have the stomach for it, but you have to say, look, we want to do only what's going to have the greatest impact, and anything short of that's going to be failure. And that's, you know, it's mostly in your head, and it's mostly a commitment that you just need to make and stick to, but you know, we take on the easy stuff because, you know, it's safe and it's comfortable, and it's no time to be safe or comfortable. We got big things to accomplish, and, you know, the new year is a great time to you know, scrap all the easy stuff and really go for what matters.
Maybe we could throw a modification in that, though, because certainly that it's more ambitious, it's more time, it's more energy, you know, to take on these big, hard problems. But what if we took on these hard problems? We took one piece of that hard problem. We conquered that one piece. We nailed it, and perhaps that would help solve the bigger, the harder problem. Is that
well, yeah,
reasonable?
Absolutely, right. So you have to string together these little successes in order to get the big, thorny, ugly, complex problem solved at the end of the day.
Yep.
And
yep.
So, you know, what we do often is we make a big, ambitious commitment, and we say we want to eradicate hunger, but then, you know, we don't really go to the heart of what that issue really requires to solve. And so we do stuff and we do it on the margins and we think it's important and we certainly accomplish stuff. We raise money, we raise awareness, all important things, right? But we're not accomplishing our goal. So when you take that complex problem, that big thing you've committed to, and you break it down into the small pieces, you know, you can have those wins and you can string those wins together. And not only are those wins going to, you know, serve as continual motivation for you and guidance that you should be keeping going and you're on the right track, it's going to give you an opportunity to motivate other people to show that success is possible, that we can tackle these problems, and you're going to learn a tremendous amount. Just as you learn from failure, you're going to learn from those successes, and it's going to inform how you go forward and what choices you make and what commitments you make going forward. So, you know, it's take on the hard stuff because, you know, you're going to get so much more out of it than, you know, just accomplishing the easy stuff, which is, you know, probably going to require just as much work, but, you know, but we'll come across or feel easier and safer. You know, get rid of the safe stuff.
Love this as well. Fail fast and fall forward. And by the way, I can't say that 20 times in a row.
Yeah, look, you know, we all learn from failure. You know, you won't find anyone, I think, anymore who doesn't acknowledge that, you know, failure is the thing that makes us smarter and makes us tougher and all of that. But you can't make the same mistakes over and over again. You got to make new mistakes every day. You got to learn from everything you're doing. And so, you know, put yourself in a position to experiment, to test, to refine, you know, fail quickly so that you can take those lessons and you can apply them, and fall forward because, you know, we know what failure feels like. And, you know, at least it should be constructive. You're never going to enjoy failing. No one ever wants to fail. I'm not encouraging people to fail because, you know, that's the best way to get to a solution to accomplishing something big, but it's inevitable. So if you're going to fail, you know, fail smart, fail fast, and, you know, fail in a way that you know, gives you information, gives you experience that you can improve, that you can use to improve everything else.
This final one is quite interesting. Go out of business.
Yeah. You know, if we're going to solve the complex problems that exist in the world as organizations, we have to make it our mission to solve them and then move on to something else. What tends to happen is we make what we think is a big, ambitious commitment. We work really hard. We accomplish something. So if you commit to ending hunger and you do a big food drive and you know feed thousands of people, you haven't actually ended hunger, but you feel like you have accomplished something and you go on. Our goal, our mission, our ambition has to be to work incredibly hard, to put everything we have into solving these problems, and know that as soon as we have solved that problem, we will know it and we will have nothing else to do. So we have to put ourselves out of business. We have to accomplish our goals. And if we're not getting closer to the point where we make ourselves obsolete because we're solving these problems, then we're likely not contributing to the solution to those problems at all. And that has, you know, very dangerous side effects for our society, for the longevity and success of that organization, and for all of the individuals. We start to believe that anything less than actually accomplishing our goals is okay, and it's really not. We either accomplish them or we don't. We either put ourselves out of business, or the problems that challenge us as individuals and as communities and as society will just continue to plague us.
Brian, want to thank you again for being a guest. Thanks for that.
Thank you for having me, and for having this discussion. Look, I mean, most people don't want to take on the hard things. Most people want to just do what kind of feels right to them. And we talked a little earlier, and I think you were, I love the idea of connecting the individual opportunities that we have coming up, with the beginning of the year and the resolutions we make to the larger contribution we want to play and to the organizations we work with can play to solving problems. And it's that kind of connection that really starts to get things moving.
Let's take a quick break and back everyone with the author of Shift and Reset, Strategies for Addressing Serious Issues in a Connected Society. Back in just a minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
From the creators of We Build Pages, experience the power of the Internet Marketing Ninja. An exclusively trained army of nearly 100 in-house ninjas. Mastered in the arts of social media, local marketing, content creation, SEO reporting, and yes, link building. The Internet Marketing Ninjas will release a new version of their legendary tools to the public. Visit imninjas.com. The ninjas.
As you know, being an expert at
What did she say?
Requires lots of practice and a great tool. Think you could use some help with
Whoa!
You're not alone. Hundreds have used our tool to take their performance to the next level.
The language!
Of course, we're talking about managing Facebook ads on Acquisio.
Oh...
Buy, track, manage, optimize, and report on media across all major ad networks. Visit Acquisio.com to get a demo today. Acquisio. Search. Social. Display. One platform.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Rock the world with LinkedIn.
Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel.
Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, Brian. Thanks again for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
That freakishly amazing concept you have, you should write a book on that.
I mean, that's, part of what I, my hope would be, right, I've got some stuff in Shift and Reset about it. I'm going to try to, write. But, I think there are people out there who can take that freakishly amazing, concept and just do incredible stuff with it. And, I hope I said it to, our HR person the other day, right? We got almost 5,000 people globally. And, you know, we don't tap into that stuff nearly as well as we could and we should here. And, you know, I said it to her sort of in passing, and she was like, that's genius, right? And she knows, she spins off at 1,000 miles per hour and knows what to do with it. So, you know, I'd love to do something with it, but if I kind of hit that first domino and someone else runs with it, works for me, right? I want to hang on and see how it all comes together. So,
well, this is the paradigm right here that I'm seeing. So, and we'll only talk about this. We've both got to run, I'm sure. But, so when you solicit people to go do something for a nonprofit organization or a cause, by default, you're being invasive to them, right? Mm-hmm. You're saying, you know, you're asking them to spend time or spend money on something that they may be passionate about, but it's a drain on them, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go to somebody and say, hey, you have a freakishly amazing talent. Would you like to put it to work in new creative ways that you're not doing right now? Whoa, that's a whole different way to spin it, okay?
Right.
And no, that is an incredibly, incredibly powerful thing, where you turn the tables and empower people. And I even love the brand Freakishly Amazing Talent. I mean, I think that that's the genius of this concept in solving some of these world problems, is to get now, one freakishly amazing talent is passion, right? There are some people out there that are so passionate about things because they lost a loved one or whatever, and they want to do something about it, and that should be a recognized freakishly amazing talent that's been a catalyst for a lot of change. But guess what? There's a lot of other freakishly amazing talents that we need to tap into to solve these world problems, right?
Yep.
It's not just money, it's not just emotion, you know, in getting people to buy things with those two things combined. It's computer scientists and geniuses that can solve, you know, problems. It's giving them a platform to perform on, right? So maybe you're the guy that invents this new Facebook-esque type of place where people can go and demonstrate their freakishly amazing talent, right, that can help these world problems. Because what's missing here, Brian, in my opinion, is the core place that you go to do this thing you're asking people to do. It doesn't exist. There's a fragmented, you know, marketplace right now to solve world problems that are organized by company names like the Red Cross, you know, or those are fragmented things. And what you're saying is there's a higher being above that, right? The problem
here is
hunger.
What's important is, and you hit it,
hunger,
right?
Don't
you
think,
need both the or, place where the stuff comes together, and you need someone who can help connect the dots. Right, who doesn't have?
It's not someone though. It's technology. It's a platform.
Well, right, and actually, I mean, I've talked to a few people about this. Right, there's a lot of wonderful, you know, algorithms that now start to take incredible data, bring it together, and then start to find those patterns. Right, but we don't apply it to individual talents. We don't look at, you know, we don't look at what people are actually doing and what the patterns are that emerge from that, and that's what, you know, the technology now has the ability to do, and that's what the global society, right, the connected society. If we were to actually mine, you know, Facebook data, not what people say they're interested in, but what they're actually spending their time on, and then go back to them and say, look, I already know you're spending your time doing X. Did you know that if you did this slightly differently, we would have this impact, right? The impact could be huge, because we know they're already inclined to do it. We know they're already doing it. If applied in a certain way, it would actually start to have an issue. And it's so different than saying, look, I recognize that you do X, so I assume that means you're interested in Y, though I don't understand any reasons, you know, about what your interest would be based on. You know, let me tell you all these things that benefit me but don't necessarily benefit you to do it, right? You know, we need to tap into people's stream. So much better. I agree. It's so funny
you say the word tap, because I wrote down three words: tap, assess, and place, which spells out tap. So step one, I actually wrote a business plan for a model called WebExec, which was this. I was in the staffing industry for a while, and at the time I tried to you know, create a much more disintermediated model and a matchmaking model that match the needs of employers with the need with the strengths of employees, mm-hmm. and to do that more in sort of like a profile assessment mentality that would become this matchmaking, so you could get the right DNA and build your company. It's an interesting idea. You know, took it out to a few people, didn't get any funding for it, but I think as we see Monster.com and CareerBuilder continue to be this old school friggin' help wanted section, it's just ridiculous to me that we haven't made any better advancements with matchmaking skill and experience and interest with needs of employees. But that's another subject. When I think of your world, which I'm going to just name, you know, freakishly amazing talent to solve world problems.com, right? The yeah. big string of words. The first string would be, you know, go in and tap into people's strengths, assess how they could contribute to the problem, and place them with a function and a role that could solve the problem, right? Yep. So tap into their, you know, their strengths, you know, assess how that could fit into solving the problem, and then give them assignments, literally place them on things that they can tap into that freakishly amazing talent and run with it.
Yep. This, no, it's absolutely, this, and you know who comes closest right to this, ironically? Dating sites. The algorithms that dating sites run are amazing because they tap into not just data that people offer sort of in one context, right? But they ask you all these random questions about what are seemingly random questions, I should say, right? About, you know, your musical tastes and your favorite foods and blah, blah, blah. And they don't just go out there and look for someone else who likes strawberries, right? As if you could build an entire constructive romantic relationship around a shared love of strawberries. They go and they have these algorithms that mix up all of their different data and start to see the patterns and the trends that can be applied. You take that kind of, you know, freakish ability, you know, data mining, and put it against the list of solutions, you know, that need to be found for certain, you know, social issues and all of that stuff. You know, that's when you could apply it and really, you know, stress it. So, you know, the pieces and parts of a lot of this stuff exist, but in obviously yeah. very, very different context. And, you know, if we were to put the intelligence in how we mine for things like dating against the, you know, the business discipline of, you know, solving some of these problems, that's what, you know, I've been writing about. That's what I'm trying to get us to. And I know it's possible. It just, right, everyone's got to step out of their little box a little bit.
Right on, Brian. The author of Shift and Reset, Strategies for Addressing Serious Issues in a Connected Society. Brian, any quick hint on who you want to get a hold of you and how they can get a hold of you?
Sure. I think anyone who, you know, wants to mix it up and wants to think differently and really shift the way that we address serious issues, you know, contact me. Shiftandreset.com is the site. You can find more about the book there. My Twitter handle is @BRIANRECH. You know, you can Google me, LinkedIn me, Facebook me, find me. You know, feel free. Please do contact me, and you know, let's have a conversation. Let's figure it out. Let's, you know, let's find out what we're all freakishly good at, and band them together to do something interesting.
Sounds like fun, freakish fun. Thanks again for listening in, everyone. Hope your life's a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser, and hope you have a great start to the new year with these great ideas from Brian. Thanks again. We'll see you next week.